Well, for a few days, and I'm really having a good time, and I like my job. I can't think of anything to actually say to you, so I thought maybe I'd try to recite a poem over this thing so I could hear it. So I'm going to sing, recite one of Browning's poems, my last section. That's my last section painted on the wall, looking as if you were alive. I call that now. Thou Pandolf's hands work busily a day. And there she stands. Good people, good frost time. For never read strangers like you that picture compliment in a plan. But to myself, there wouldn't have drawn to you but I. And seems as they would ask me, how such a glance came, so not the first for you to turn and ask back. Sir, it was not her secret alone, all that spot of joy in the Duchess' cheek. Perhaps Frau Pandolf chanced to say, her mantle lasts only, or he must never hope to leave the beast the faint half blood that dies along her throat. Such that was courtesy, he thought, and cause enough for calling up that spot of joy. How shall I say, she had, too easily impressed. She liked whatever she looked on everywhere. There was all one, my favor of her breath, the dropping of the daylight, the bough of cherries, some of which is cool, broken the orchard for, the white mules she rode around the terrace, all and each would draw from her alike the approving speech, or blush at least. She thanked men good, but thanked somehow my gift, 100-year-old name, was anybody's gift, the sort of trifling.
You stoop to play this sort of trifle. Even had you skill and speech, which I have not, to make your will quite clear.
Well, why did you join up in the first place?
Well, we were in college together. Yeah, it wasn't in our senior year, but we were placed together.
Here is a flash just received in our newsroom. Dateline Washington. United States Army transport carrying lumber was torpedoed 1,300 miles west of San Francisco. Details on this news and other news that has been coming in on the Far East situation will be given to you at approximately 3:35 during the intermission of the New York Philharmonic concert. We return you now to the New York Philharmonic Orchestra.
After Pearl Harbor,
we went. You know, I was working in Wisconsin at Racine for Western British Electric Company. Went up there to work after I graduated. I was thinking about going back to college and getting a bachelor's degree.
This program to bring you a special news bulletin. The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii by air, President Roosevelt has just announced. The attack also was made on all naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu. The Symphony No. 1 in F minor of the modern Russian composer Shostakovich performed as the opening work on this afternoon's telephonic program. Arthur Rudzinski conducting. Japan has attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, and Manila, the Philippine Islands, from the air. The attack is developing. Today, Dean Taylor's usual commentary will be replaced by a further report on the Far Eastern situation. We pause now for 15 seconds. This is Columbia Broadcasting System. This is WCCO, studios in Minneapolis and St. Paul. The Twin City temperature 37 degrees.
January,
and on the 26th of February, I was on a boat to Puerto Rico.
We never had any place to get married.
Hello, sweetheart. Talk to an episode. down here at the UFO club down in town. Thought I was making one for Mother's Day and make one for you. I don't know. I got a picture you sent me in class out there in Goodland. And I really had some fun. We really had some looking at getting your race. And I was getting just about as many from your mother and folks. So really, I've been kept pretty well up on things down there. In your mother's letter today, I heard that the trip going to Denver in school was out. Well, I'm sure glad that you're going to have the opportunity to go out there and visit the folks out there. And I've been writing to you. I suppose I haven't been writing as many as I ought to, but I'm here in town. Now today, I had to get, yesterday in fact, I had to get forth and see Miss Jeremy. She'd be in the librarian out of school. Well, she's down here now in Puerto Rico, and she's having, she's in the U.S. having some real, as you know, out there, and work together there in the library.
Baby?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we'll, and then Bill come in Sunday, I think.
You're going to have your hands full.
Yeah, we will. How about you?
I'm at work. I got to work early. I'm okay. I'm working on this piece and I'm getting really excited, but I can't get off work to get to Gerard's wedding. So I wanted to see y'all and interview you.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to dig into some of this. And
well, you get the date ready and we'll be ready.
Yeah? Well, maybe I could ask you some questions now.
Hmm?
Can I ask y'all some questions now?
Sure.
Yeah? All right, these might sound a little strange.
Okay.
What did the war sound like?
What did the war sound like?
Uh-huh.
Well, in my case, when I was flying, it was mostly there was the sound of the engines of the airplane. There were times when they were shooting at us, flag. You heard the sound of the flag bursting out in the air around you. And, I guess maybe as far as on the bomb run and on the flight, that was what it sounded like. Mostly the hum of the engine, and then over the target you would see the flag, and if it was real close you could hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in England, now when I went to London, particularly, the rockets, the B-1 and B-2 rockets, you could hear at night, or whenever they shot them. And the B-1, which were the buzz bombs, you always listened because their engines stopped just as the time they were descending. When it went off, you held your breath until it hit somewhere.
Hi, Mary Rachel.
Hey, how are y'all today?
Well, we're awake.
Hey!
And we've had breakfast.
And we've had breakfast. And what do you got this morning?
Well, around, let's see, right before 9 o'clock, I have a student orientation with 30 people, so it should be interesting.
Well, that's wonderful.
It is. Grandma?
Uh-huh.
I was wondering what it was like to live in Kansas.
What it's like to live in Kansas.
Well, you have to know that you don't always get rain. You gotta find a way to irrigate if you are
if you have water.
Yeah, if you can find water when it's so that you can have it ready in case it doesn't rain.
Darling, you can't guess what kind of a day today is. It's rainy. It started out sort of piddling along like it used to, and then Dad went down to get a haircut or something, and I had to go after him because he was waylaid on the way. So I've had a fine time today, and I'm so glad that the folks got it.
I'll finish up the bits. Go ahead.
Yes, Grandma. I just know you and Grandpa and Vance lived in Kansas for a really long time.
Oh, wow.
She lived here all her life till we moved here.
Really?
Let me see, was I born in Kansas?
Yes, you were.
Uh-huh.
In fact, for a while you were there, Grandpa was off fighting a war.
Yeah.
In World War II.
We really enjoyed Kansas all our lives. Even the hot days, we learned how to take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't move there till I was 15.
15, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. What did it look like, Grandma?
Of a what?
Do you remember what Kansas looked like?
What it looked like?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it was pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Many people thought it looked dry, and there were dry seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But then the rain came, and while I was there, it always came finally.
Mm-hmm.
And then you did have to water some.
Right.
Everybody had a
Hello,
spring.
Darling.
You know,
you can't guess what kind of a day today is. It's raining. It started out sort of piddling along like it used to, and then Dad went down to get a
When it got too dry, and you'd look out and you'd see people had done that, you know. I don't know how you describe it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a rubber hose was always available.
Sprinklers.
And so you would look around in times of when there hadn't been rain for a couple of weeks or more than that, and people would have these sprays.
Mm-hmm.
Garden sprays on.
We've just been thinking of you all the time. And last evening, Dad came out on the screened-in porch and said that, well, if we just had Screwball here, we'd have a fine time, wouldn't we? And Em and I compared notes all the time, talking about what a swell fella you are.
I was wondering, Grandma, do you remember anything about the Great War, World War II? You were in Kansas, and Grandpa was gone for a long time.
Gone. While I was gone overseas.
Oh, he was overseas.
Yes, and you were pregnant with Aunt Chris.
Oh, it was terrible.
She lived with her mother on Putnam.
Mm-hmm.
Putnam, uh-huh.
Do you remember what that was like, Grandma?
You had Grandma Montgomery on one side of the duplex and you and your mother on the other.
That's right. I had forgotten that too, you see.
Mm-hmm.
That snows more than I. Yes.
You know, I wait for your letters, and I'm going to try to write an awful lot of them this summer. And, well, just have a good time till I see you.
Down here, we're just about the same as we've been ever since I came down here. We've not had much that we can say because of the censorship, but you know that I'm thinking of you just as much as I always have. I had quite a pleasant experience down here in the last couple of days, and Miss Jeremy, who you probably remember as a librarian out there at Westland, has come down here to USO Club and has taken has been made assistant to Mr. Hansen, who's in charge down here. And she and I have had a nice talk, and along with Major Fairfield, we've got it lined up, so we're going to have some Christian Science services down here. And in addition to that, Dad wrote me about this Marie Phelan, who's down here, and her father's out in Hayes. Well, this afternoon, Eddie Hemphill, who you wrote about and who I knew was here all the time and who I've been with, the two of them.
So she got pregnant when you were home for R&R?
No, she got pregnant when we were in Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
When we were doing our traveling.
All right.
From one base to another. I'm sure we figured that one out.
Yeah. What was it like being away from her when you know she's getting ready to have a baby? I mean, were you hoping it would wait until you got back?
No, I was just most interested in getting back and getting through. Didn't really think I could possibly get there
mm-hmm.
in time. It just takes too long to fly the missions that you have to fly.
Yeah.
And, so you're really at the mercy of the war.
Yeah.
On the home front, women enlist for less glamorous, less hazardous, but equally important work in industry. Replacing men who are called to the colors, these girls are operating
wow.
one of the nation's
and
biggest...
Grandma did all the... Grandma Montgomery did all the cooking.
She loved to cook.
Today, women in overalls, women in war jobs, are to be found throughout the length and breadth of America. Even at Army Proving Grounds, the so-called weaker sex is doing a man-sized job.
You know, we all realized that she was doing it because she enjoyed it. And then we would most often do up the dishes. She just put them in a great big metal sort of... It was a box. It was looked like a baby's crib.
Let's meet the champ first. Miss Anderson is 20 years old, and Miss Anderson is very pretty. She weighed in at 110 with full welding gear on yesterday. Vera is the best woman welder in the world, and there are an awful lot of women welders. Why do women make good welders, Vera?
Well, I think it's because they have better nerves than men. In welding, muscle helps, but you've got to have those nerves, too.
You looked pretty relaxed yesterday.
To be exact, I was more relaxed than I am right now, but I was awfully tired when it was all over. Mrs. Slocum is a real good welder and a very nice lady.
Got any plans now that you're a champion again?
Sure, I'm going to keep right on welding.
Thanks, Sarah Anderson.
we had always had something to eat because mm-hmm. Mother loved to cook and made us all fat.
mm-hmm.
But it was wonderful. I can look back and see that. And...
Right.
Now the runner-up, Mrs. Edna Slocum of Oakland, California. Mrs. Slocum is the mother of two boys, one 12, the other 14. Sitting across from her now, I suspect that Mr. Slocum upheld the family tradition for child brides. She is a very young mother. Congratulations for finishing second. That's well above par for any Slocum.
Well, I finished second to a magnificent welder.
You're going to keep right on welding, too?
Yes, sir, right up to our Mistress Day.
It must be very hard work, just keeping a home running and doing a day's work in the shipyards.
It is, but thousands of women are doing it, and we'll keep right on doing it, too.
One more thing. If this was a prize fight, you could say, hello, Mom, but you're the mom.
That's all right. Hello, boys. I'm fine. I'll be home real soon.
A very nice switch, and I know they heard that via KQW in San Francisco. Miss Anderson and Mrs. Slocum, thanks, and keep them sailing. Now back to Admiral Radio in New York.
A happy person. I can't imagine her being having anything but had a smile on her face.
Mm-hmm. Is that what her name was?
I guess I inherited some of my smile.
Well, and I hope I inherited some of it from you.
I'm so glad. I haven't seen you for so long. I don't know what you look like.
I know. Well, I'm the tall one. I'm your tallest granddaughter.
Eagle, I can know.
Mm-hmm. And I'm named after you. My name's Mary Rachel.
Thank you, dear.
So I'm named after you.
Once more, darling. I didn't. We have everything in this new house down here except a fireplace. So when you come back, we're going to build one for you special. Well, good luck again, and I hope we get to do this very often. Here's your dad.
Just like I was supposed to get a call there, you know you did. I really, more than I can tell you, guess we'll just have to come. I don't know. It seems to me that record a little of what I really think about, write about. I'm sure, and I'm sure, that as soon as it's over, we're going to have the opportunity to do things that we really wanted to. Till then, why? Guess just to say, way down here under it, I love you. Got it. So long.